Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
How'd you know what I was saying? You understand me.
Agreed.
You study your prey.
Disagree.
You want to understand your enemy.
Agree.
Let's try a different question. Do you like it here?
Disagree.
Second that. Are you male?
Disagree.
Female?
Agree.
Look at us. Just a couple of girls having a slumber party. We could braid each other's hair. If you had any. Or if I had any. I can't believe I'm joking with a guard.
So, question for you guys as we begin the podcast today, and I'll get to that in a second. The question for you, did you think this Gorn lady was sexy? Did you think this was a sexy Gorn lady?
You said Gorn, and I was thinking about like...
Gorn.
I was like thinking like... I was confused for a minute. I wasn't putting it together. I was like thinking more of like some other humanoid...
But why?
Non-lizard
this
thing.
This is an episode about the Gorn.
I know. That's why my brain broke for a minute. Because when you said, was that Gorn sexy? I couldn't comprehend the question so much that I couldn't picture the Gorn after you said that. Now that I've pictured the Gorn, because it took my brain a minute to turn right side up again, I can safely say, maybe?
She was like injured and like...
Well, I mean, that's not what I thought was
reptilian.
Sexy. I don't know. I just thought she was very powerful.
She was powerful.
Okay.
Was she like an assertive Gorn?
Sure.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying.
She seems like a regular Gorn to me.
And admittedly, part of it could be the whole puppy / raptor with a, like a blanket on its nose business. I might have a secret kink related
or
to
like,
that.
Or like when you see those pictures of like there's like a king cobra and somebody kisses him on the top of the head and it's like, oh, that's okay.
I think I would have been more attracted to the Gorn person if she had a little bit more Jim Henson in her movement style.
You mean like a Skeksis or something?
Yeah, exactly. Like
see, I like that they didn't go Skeksis, because the Dark Crystal was something that caused me all manner of psychological trouble.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry.
And I'm not going to be trying.
But you actually like to watch that, Jax. I can't even watch that.
Well, nowadays I'm more into it, but See what I'm getting at?
Okay,
that's like some sexy purring.
Okay. Disclaimer: don't listen to the next couple words if you're easily grossed out by potty humor. But this noise, it sounds like somebody's cutting a big, gassy, nasty fart on the toilet. Like on the toilet.
You mean so the echoey?
The echoey like loud.
It's like the is that the worm monster?
It's like when you have like a stomach, like when your stomach's upset and you're like passing gas on the toilet in that way. Mm-hmm. That's what
in that way, as one does.
Yeah, okay. I'm certainly reminiscent.
I'm sorry to have to begin the podcast with like that grossness, but like
you prefer to save that to like what halfway through.
Yeah, I the only reason I mentioned it I was contemplating whether I should even mention it, and I was just like, it's on my head, and I can't stop thinking that's on
some
my head.
It's on my head.
It's
on your mind.
It's on my mind, right. And so like. So it's not like I'm just being silly and going gooby, gooby, gooby. Like, I was actually thinking about how that sound, and it made me wonder how they made that sound if they just got someone to sit on the pot and pass some gas.
I never, the whole time we've been doing this podcast, I never thought you've ever been gooby, gooby. Yeah.
Not once?
Not once.
Not while we're recording.
You take it really serious.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. Off mic, maybe.
Yes, off, yes.
Oh. 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 Cool.
I gotta say, Dan, I'm glad you made that observation because I hadn't, but you played it. You presented some evidence. I don't know how
evidence.
It might not be quite far enough along on the fecal spectrum for me, but it is in that direction. It is an. It is a gurgly.
Yeah,
a
gurgly it's just sound. It's the echo-ness. Echoing. You're right. It's not quite there. It's a little bit maybe. It's not like there's not enough treble to it or something.
Are you okay?
But
what
like,
happens when you go to the bathroom? What but, have you been eating?
Dan famously has what some bathroom been issues.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you know, I can tell, you know, it's just well, it just reminded me of it. But you're right, it's not quite like that. But yeah, it's constantly
Just another. Dan gave his disclaimer. Another disclaimer: when you say on a toilet, I presume you mean sort of like your standard American toilet,
standard,
which is there's a fairly basic
standard.
That's funny you said standard American
bog standard,
American because American standard isn't that a
American
toilet?
Standard is a brand of toilet.
Yeah, did you mean to do that, Patrick?
I considered that before I said that. Yeah, and I figured I'd put it down. One of you would pick it up. Jesse picked it up as it happened.
I got a toilet brain.
So what?
Now play that again.
Okay. So what?
That was more burp like, but I.
Okay. So what?
The problem with trying to get recordings of the Gorn making noise is because they put together like three or four different noises that kind of like overlapped and started and stopped at different times. So you never really, half the time I didn't know when a Gorn noise was starting and when it was ending and whether it was some other thing. Like it wasn't usually a defined thing. So I got a couple of them where it seemed very defined, but often there was just this kind of like three or four tones of Gorn rumbliness going on. Like, and I couldn't pinpoint the exact start and end, and it was all rambly and weird. So Gorn talk funny.
Yes.
Oh man, that was specious of me. I'm sorry.
Well,
a bit.
Yeah.
But of course.
But we have the best language, so it's just how it goes.
Strange New Worlds has been spending a few seasons telling us that the Gorn are monsters.
Monsters.
Monsters. Oh, by the way, we will start the podcast.
No, we won't.
But we got a great comment on YouTube.
Ooh.
I sent it to you guys. I forget exactly what it was, but the guy was
saying,
why is everyone yelling at all the time? And why are they playing so many sound clips?
Yeah, I know. Like, of all the things to complain about, like... I the sound clip thing is funny to me because hilarious. Like what is there to okay look and not everyone has their own taste and I respect that
might not be for you
but like at the same time like I just don't know why someone would complain about
we're
that.
Not yelling
yeah
the yelling
we're
thing
just, we're just energetic well,
the yelling I can understand how that might not be someone's cup of tea but like sound clips I don't know
you
like
you guys get really loud but you're not yelling.
I don't
Okay. I don't even have a problem. You don't have to like the sound clips. It's just a funny thing to say.
I just don't think the sound clips are that intrusive.
It's just not for you. This is just not for you.
Well, the thing is the sound clips I don't feel are that intrusive. It's kind of thing where I think you can sort of, if
they're
you don't,
rather,
it's the kind of thing where like you either enjoy them or just kind of ignore them. But I could be wrong. A lot of people might get really annoyed by it.
That was almost a song lyric. You enjoy them or you ignore them.
Yeah.
Enjoy them. Almost. Slant rhyme.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Crap.
So, hello.
Hi.
And
hey.
And welcome to
hey.
The It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Let's light this candle. Let's light this candle.
Is that a thing that people say?
Burn it up, baby.
Yeah, it's a term for lighting a rocket.
Light this candle.
Is it?
Candle. It's usually a rocket.
A colloquial term, at least in, I don't know, 60s, 70s, 80s. A colloquial term for a rocket. I think
stick a dynamite.
I think specifically a solid propellant rocket.
Disagree.
You light that candle. It's a candle, and you light it, and once you light it, you're going.
It's like it's amazing.
Like the solid rocket boosters on the space shuttle.
Don't pull the thing out unless you... plan to bang is a
what or the ALS you know and I'm not talking about Lou Gehrig's disease.
Lou Gehrig.
So this is the
there's one way to be certain.
This is the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Yes,
I believe it is episode 306.
What
of
yeah
the It's Got Star
I believe
Trek podcast.
I believe that's true.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Wait, I got to say the title of the episode. Then Dan will play the sound clip.
Yep.
I get it wrong sometimes.
Well, I like how the new bit that we've been doing that's not so new anymore is to describe how we do the opening before, yeah, instead of just doing the opening.
Not now, super meta.
Now we say, it's like, oh, yeah, now I'm supposed to say this so Dan can do that.
It's not a bit. It's just simple incompetence on my part.
Affirmative.
You know, people might say, you've been doing this a long time. You should have this down. I would counter, we've been doing this a long time. And my mind is melting.
Agreed.
Okay, so this week on the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
You don't know what it's like, everybody.
This week on the It's Got Star Trek podcast, we are discussing Strange New Worlds Season 3, Wilds. Episode 9.
Strange New Worlds.
Called Terrarium.
Yeah.
Hello, Lieutenant Eric Horatekos.
Hello, wormhole.
Hey.
Those were the three salutations?
There was another one.
Why did you not include it in the clip? Is it for later?
It just wasn't appropriate in there, right there. There were already three salutations. Okay. How many do you...
You're not ready to meet us.
Yeah, how many do you need?
I'm just making a prediction. I'm not making an assumption. I'm making a prediction.
Dan's such an ass.
That whatever remains from those salutations, you're holding back for the right moment. Mm-hmm. Because normally, you would just play everything in a row.
But it is possible.
Something to look out for. Audience.
There's one way to be certain.
Yes, just listen to the show.
Certain.
Okay, so we'll...
Odds are in our favor, we can do this.
Start, continue, whatever you want to call it, our discussion of Terrarium.
Discussing?
Terrarium. Super Mario.
Excuse me, I'd like the rotisserie chicken with french fries, please.
So, first of all, it's...
Super Mario.
After
I love Mario. Remember that roommate? Not roommate, but person who lived in my apartment building. And she was all like, "We were all talking about something, and then I brought up Nintendo. She's like, "Oh, I love Mario."
I remember that.
I do remember. That's a good anecdote, Dan. Yeah.
I love Mario.
It's one of my favorite stories.
Nothing wrong with if you say Mario instead of Mario. But
nothing
just,
wrong with it at all. But it is cutely charming.
It's
it was charming. It was more charming.
It catches in your ear. What did you say?
Yeah, I wasn't making fun. I was no. Noting the charm level was above average.
Yeah.
So I was a compliment, not a disrespect.
That was a compliment, not a disrespect. Gotcha. Okay.
Oh, hell yeah!
So, first things first.
No.
This is...
fine.
I
can see how someone might get annoyed with all these sounds. I've been playing a lot of sounds recently, like now. So I can see maybe
I
that's
say
annoying.
The hell with it.
I kind of get the impression you're almost doing it on purpose, cheekily on purpose to get back at that one
whatever
person,
that means.
That one person who will probably never never listen again.
It's okay.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I agree. I'm enjoying it. More sounds, less work for the rest of us.
You're enjoying yourself, Erica, but playtime's over.
So, this episode, it's important to note that in the vibe of the season, the season has been controversial in some quarters. I mean, like, quite literally controversial. Some episodes, last week's had some controversy. Some episodes have been more poorly received. Some have been very positively received, but there's been some discussion about the whiplash of tones going back and forth.
I received this one well.
Well, that's the thing. I think a lot of people, myself included, appreciated that while in some ways this was a very... Again, bog standard plot. It's the enemy mine plot.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
It's like TNG's The Enemy, of course, and we'll discuss more. There are flavors of TOS's Arena and stuff like that. Yes, it's standard in that sense. It's fairly predictable where it's going to go, but... That standardness is kind of comforting. It's like a good old fashioned Star Trek episode.
Yeah. Chalk up another W for the home team.
It's cozy. It's well performed.
Ortegas is like probably one of my favorite characters on the crew, and it's cool that she had an episode where she could totally be herself and do some crazy shit and be like, okay, I got this. I still got this.
I can figure this out.
It's been a long wait.
Now I know.
For an Ortegas,
I know what I'm doing.
For an Ortegas focused episode, I think a lot of people are delighted that we finally get to have something that focuses on this character and gives Melissa Navia like really awesome stuff to do. She's doing like a one person play basically, with a puppet and on a magic stage.
I appreciated that. It was a little threw me off a little because like there was. there was a distinct lack of CGI to the Gorn, where in the past episodes there's
Gorn was kind of puppety.
It was more puppety this time, and in the past it's been more CGI-y, if I'm remembering CGI-y. Correctly.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and I like the puppet.
I tend to prefer the puppet. I prefer the puppet. Play.
You prefer the puppet play?
Play the preferential puppet, politely pandering projectile ponder. And I'm just saying words with P. It's not even fitting together.
Pistachio.
Yeah.
Pistachio nut.
Pistachio.
Macadamia.
Ponder
nut.
The pistachio plight. Ponder the pistachio plight. I prefer the puppet. It's just it was like a little jarring because I was having to be like, oh wait, that's a Gorn. Yeah, right. Because I'm used to it being all like CGI, like, you know, like that.
So briefly, since you mentioned pistachios, and I apologize for this in advance, but I thought I'd mention it because I thought you maybe you'll be amused by this, and maybe some of the folks.
We need to keep trying.
I was listening to Penn Jillette's podcast the other day, and he made an amusing joke, what I thought was an amusing joke, where they were having a discussion about communication and different mediums of entertainment and all that. And they were talking about how Marshall McLuhan, Penn Jillette was talking about how Marshall McLuhan stated that new media always starts by trying to recapitulate the previous media. So in other words, TV was just doing like radio plays at first, and then like movies were just like filming stage plays.
Right.
And it took a while. It always takes a while for a medium to sort of discover itself. And then Penn said, it's kind of like you have pistachios, and then what they do is they invent shelled pistachios, but they put in a bag that's hard to open.
Right.
We need to be able to communicate.
And he's like a vegan, so he probably eats a lot of pistachios.
Yeah. I dig pistachios.
Yeah, there's
all right. Good. Aside concluded. Back to the discussion of this bog standard.
We need to keep trying.
But fun episode.
That planet looked really sad to live on.
Oh, man.
So can we start with that real quick? Because
those poor worms.
Something I
didn't... Yeah, they were like some kind of arachnopedes or something.
Yeah,
like,
right.
But they also had a bit of slug to them as well.
Bit of slug. Oh, they were horrible.
So were those the same creatures that were attacking them? Was that the same ones that they were also eating?
I think
yes,
so.
Yes,
I think so. The part of the issue
I had
here... It looked
gross when she ate it and she was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And then she was like, I gotta cook this shit.
Yeah.
Part of the issue I had here...
So that she was like, yeah, okay.
And it's not a big issue. It's just, it was a little confusing to me because I'm enjoying this episode. I did enjoy this episode, but then, you know, I watched it and then I did some research on it. I was looking to some interviews and stuff. And so the producers and the writers and stuff, they were like, this is the same planet that Kirk goes to with the Gorn in Arena. But it doesn't look like it, except when you watch the second time, when you look in the background, it does have a lot of Vasquez rock style formations.
It's just like different weathers.
Yes. Now,
I never even put that together.
Here's the thing, right? Headcanon, of course, obviously, you can say Metrons, and we're going to talk about them later. You can say they can do whatever they want. So
I have taken on this form so that we may more easily communicate.
So for this one, they were like a stormy monster, scary planet. For the Kirk one, they're like, let's have a desert planet. Okay, sure, that's fine. But as an audience member, I made no connection. It seems Dan didn't. I don't know about you, Jesse. There was no connection between the Arena planet here. And I can understand maybe they didn't want to do that because they didn't want to like exactly ape the Arena thing, but it was a little visually confusing if that's what we were meant to
do that. I'm gonna need your help.
Without help, I was not able to figure out what was going on. I needed Patrick's help to tell me because...
Well, not my help. The help of the internet.
The internet. How did you think to look such a thing up?
I just I like watching an episode.
Oh, you were just generally
he's a smart fucker.
I go check out discussions and articles.
Oh, because you weren't specifically looking at what that planet was. It just came up into your research.
I'm interested in hear more about the background of the episode.
That planet that looks like various other episodes and.
Well, the other thing was
that place in California
about this whole the Vasquez Rocks, right? The other part
that was made famous by Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
I get what you're saying, Dan, on a Star Trek podcast, making that claim.
I'm bowled over by your enthusiasm.
Station. seriously, I know we've said it before. Go watch Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. It is the better of the two films.
I don't agree with that statement.
They're both great films.
Patrick does not speak for me with that statement. I still think, for Dan.
I have power of attorney when it comes to opinions on movies.
I still think that Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is a better movie, and it has more place in my heart. But I think Bogus Journey is an excellent sequel. But I think the Excellent Adventure. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure to me, like, is what gives me the feel goods when I think about it.
It's just how you're about to give like a third grade book report. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure to me gives me a special feeling in my tummy. It makes me make the Agorn fart sound on the toilet.
But Bogus Journey is a really good movie. Yeah. I mean, when they were talking about making Bogus Journey, they were talking about how like they had to rush it near the end, so they were just like tearing pages out of the script left and
really?
Right.
Because
they were kind of strapped for time and money, I think. But it was a good movie.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad we sorted that out.
I think the music was better in the first one.
I would probably agree.
Yeah.
But okay. So the whole business with this planet. The other thing.
I won.
The production design, it straddled this interesting zone for me, where on the one hand, a lot of this stuff was awesome to look at, like all the space flying and the
gas giants, pretty intense.
That stuff, all of that was cool. However, at the same time as feeling all like spacey and cool, I guess because of the nature of how they filmed it or lit it or whatever, and especially the darkness of it, which I'm guessing is related to puppet, maybe related to special effects. It didn't feel like it was outside.
Yeah, so, it felt a little claustrophobic in a way.
Yeah, claustrophobic is a great word.
But what's in, I was actually thinking that same thought. It didn't really feel like they were outside. But then I was thinking about, well, you know, you look at when they're on a planet in TOS, and it's just some kind of like a pinkish hue, like
also clearly on a stage.
Like stage, and it's some kind of curtain that they have behind them, and it's very clearly on a stage.
It's the
so,
same kind of,
so, yeah. So it's funny. So they both have a similar sort of closed-in vibe. Just one is like makes more of an attempt to give the illusion that it's a bigger space than the other.
And I think what there's almost
but even like DS9 when they were like, you know, wandering around like in like some
caves
or whatever. Anyone in any of the Star Treks, they never quite look like they're in a big area, except for maybe like Generations when they were like fighting.
Well, and it was not unusual, like when TOS went to the Vasquez Rocks. It was not unusual for them to film actually outside, and then that of course was different.
But here's
what I would suggest, and I don't know that everyone will agree with me, but what I would suggest is, while I agree with your points about
are stupid.
No. I don't think they're stupid at all. Yes, they often filmed on sound stages, and it looked like they filmed on sound stages. But I do think the difference with the volume that they use here, which is brilliant. It's amazing technology, this volume where they have the screen around them and stuff.
Is that they used the Mandalorian?
Exactly.
Special effects? But, I didn't know they did that.
But the thing is the volume, the way they use it, it is much smaller than a lot of those old TOS and TNG, like even the indoor sets were like big warehouses. Yeah. So the matte painting would actually be like fucking 75-100 feet away. So there was more feel. It's not outside, but there's more space, because I really like that term claustrophobic, because I didn't think of that. But that's when you said that, I was like, yeah, this made me feel a little like hemmed in.
So I didn't know that. So they use that cylinder.
Well, it's like a half dome, I think.
Half dome screen thing.
Yeah.
And she stood inside it, and it was video on all sides. That'd be awesome for like simulators playing video games and something like that.
Apparently, it's really interesting to work with and play with. But there are limitations, and people complained also on The Mandalorian. In some ways, it was used. It was considered very brilliant. But then, if there's an over reliance on it, then I think it can be a problem. It's a classic issue of needing to blend different technologies, but that cost and other efficiencies might push you to say, hey, we've already bought this expensive thing, let's just keep using it, and you can overuse it. And I think this is an example where in certain shots, not even scenes, in certain shots it was like amazing, in other shots it was particularly because of the aspect ratio is all cinematic.
You're always all about the aspect ratio.
Well, because it makes difference. The filmic language, it means something, and an extremely wide aspect ratio. We say cinematic, but what we specifically mean is that it...
Pardon me for saying, but I don't care what you think.
It opens up these vistas, right? Your brain is triggered into thinking, I'm going to see this space utilized in a way that can give all sorts of opportunities, particularly for grand vistas and things. And here it doesn't always work, because I think of some of the limitations of the lighting and combined with the volume. These are guesses on my part. I'm happy.
Found your weak spot.
Happy to be contradicted or corrected by anybody in our fine audience who would like to give us more details or their own.
I don't know what to do with that.
Thoughts. Things
all right, change. We'll add it to the list.
Things, the list gets weirder as it goes on.
Things change.
How was she? And she was all like plotting the orbit from space. I'm guessing. I have to assume that she was using one of her like tricorder tools to like, because she was all talking about like,
yeah,
she was talking about the orbit. She's like, the orbit's not circular; it's a flat ellipse. But the perigee is way too close. Like, I don't know.
She just used a rock.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, how is she able to make all those calculations?
That's Starfleet Academy. They teach all kinds of shit.
How is she able to make like those kind of calculations just standing there without any tools? I assume she must have used some kind of like one of her tools to help her figure that out, because I don't know.
She flies a spaceship.
Okay, you let Patrick talk for so long without saying anything. I know you're messing with me because I was here. I know. That's my point. That's been my point. This has been my point all along, is that like he gets to talk forever and I don't get to talk at all.
It's just part of the deal.
It's not part of the fucking deal, man.
We got to get the contract out.
Eat shit.
All right, Dan. I'm very eager for you to continue.
I mean, No,
it's a good. It's because I agree with you. It's
all I was saying is that like I don't know how she was able to make those calculations unless she had some tool to aid her, which we can only assume she must have. Unless, but they didn't really show that, so I don't know how she was able to calculate its orbit and its
perigee and apogee
and like how soon it was going to like land into the planet. You know,
I think she just eyeballed it.
I think
it's thermosphere. That's all I'm saying. Well, I think she just eyeballed it.
I think it was cool though. Like how she was saying, like, you know, oh, it's gonna go through all that toxic shit. Yeah. It's gonna bring it down on the planet. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I just don't know how she figured out all those calculations.
Yeah, it's not. It's always nice when you have a little bit more plausibility.
Yeah.
As opposed to just like, oh, I'm just using a rock. Yeah. Obviously, we're just intended as the audience to be like, she understands, so we believe her. She's got to be right. Okay. Cool. It's one of the challenges that will be set up.
Okay. Let's do it!
Because she flies spaceships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did she know that Gorn was a pilot? I mean, she saw a helmet. How can you tell that was a pilot's helmet?
Yeah,
also,
right.
Also, like, her sign language was like, she was like, pointed to the Gorn and then herself, and then she pointed up. And from that, you're supposed to gather, oh, they're both pilots.
That was a little...
It could also just mean... Neither of us are from this planet. Yeah. We're from somewhere else.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You came from out there.
I also thought, I was like, that sign language is not so good. Couldn't you do like this, like wiggle your hand like you're flying, or like flap your hands or something?
Right,
I don't know.
So
Or like this, or like, you know, steering wheel
a steering wheel. And then like run around with your hands like wings, going like,
Although with the Gorn do that, like they pilot their things like motorcycles, you know, little organic ships, and they're all like slurping around with their fingers.
Right.
So the Gorn lady sexy Gorn lady could have done that.
Motorcycle noises.
Speaking of motorcycle, we saw her motorcycle again. That had 84 on it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking like, why does she even need a motorcycle on a starship? Like, how is she going to test it once it works? She's got nowhere to take it.
Commented on this before, where I like the idea of showing her, demonstrating that Ortegas is a tinkerer, and they partly did it in order to give her the opportunity. And in this episode, for example, it was visual language to set up that she is capable of doing these engineering feats that she does later, like when she makes the water condenser, etc.
That's
smart. That's good writing to set up that the character can do this, and they mentioned it earlier in the season as well. What I'm less of a fan of is that it's like a 1980s or whatever motorcycle. I wish it was like some future tinkering.
You think she'd make something that she could actually use on the ship.
I think it's more about the fact that she's tinkering with something. It's not supposed to be something that she ever uses. Just something to work on.
But like, how are you going to know if it works well if you can't use it? You should just make something that you can use.
I think Jesse's point is interesting, though, because I can see...
I mean, I guess
maybe
it's a
thematic thing about the art of working on something specifically that you can't use.
I mean, maybe it's the idea of putting together a model or something
It focuses her desire not on something practical, but on something on the act of fixing, not on the act of using.
Right. There's not a goal. Yeah. You're just doing.
So that I'm fine with.
But still.
Can it be like a future motorcycle? Like a hover cycle?
Fucking hovercraft.
Shuttlecraft. Even if you don't intend to use it, like, you want to be able to test that it works, that you did it right.
Yeah.
And so
you could just tool around those big, giant fucking hallways.
Or maybe the cargo bay or something. Or the bridge. The bridge is huge.
So, like, again.
So, anyway, was it the... It was the...
Why doesn't everything have to be, like, contemporary stuff? I think that stuff is best used... sparingly in Star Trek when it's like, oh, a regular old motorcycle or like it's in like TOS when they or like remember you know, like when Sulu finds a handgun, it's all charming. It's like, look at this charming, hilariously old handgun. I haven't seen one of these except in a museum, you know? That's kind of funny.
Belongs in a museum.
Yes, indeed.
So did that thing that was coming, so the planet, they were on the planet, you know.
Well, they were on a moon, I guess.
They were on a moon, so what, and it was the gas giant was coming close to knock all that toxic stuff at them.
Well,
is that the whole deal?
The
with
orbit
it?
of the moon went through the thermosphere.
Some sort of
that gas giant seems big.
Yeah,
but a little too big.
A little too rad.
That gas giant seems big. A little too big.
A little too rad.
See,
a little
see,
too big.
See, guy on
a little too rad.
Guy on YouTube. This is why we play the clips.
A little
this
too big.
A little too rad.
Guy on YouTube.
Guy on YouTube.
All right, what do we got?
What do we got?
We got a break.
Yeah, we do. We got
all
a
right,
break.
What do we got?
What do we got?
What do we got?
We got a break.
All right,
we got a break.
Got.
What do we got?
What do we got?
What do we got?
What do
we got?
I don't get it.
All right, let's take a break. And when we get back,
what do we got?
We will continue our discussion of Terrarium.
Terrarium.
Be right back.
Rotisserary.
Enterprise, beam us up now.
You're welcome.
And we're back.
Hello? Anybody home?
Are you there? What do you want?
To answer your question, that was the fourth.
Hello? Anybody home?
Yeah. Good. You're saving that for when we came back from the first break.
So that I could play.
Are you there? What do you want?
You know, sometimes I come into these podcasts and I'm on fire, like being all silly and crazy. And it's like, I wish I could just force myself to be all silly and crazy. Like, I want to say something really funny right now, but I don't know what to say. That's super funny.
But you can rely on, like, maybe Jesse or I could say
something. But you've
already
done.
Well, no, I rely on you guys saying funny things, but sometimes I want to say funny things. And
but don't you see you've already said it?
Sometimes, well.
Don't you see, Dan?
Sometimes I come in and I'm just naturally, like, I'm on fire being like, hey, yo, woo, blah, blah, blue, blah.
Every time.
And so this time I want to do something really funny right now.
Now, would it help or hinder that effort if Jesse and I just quieted down, gave you some silence and space? Let's give it a try, Jesse.
I'd be so Dan. Not used to this.
Why don't you improv something?
Just sit there. Keep judging me.
You bought yourself a little time playing that clip.
Yeah. This is you're judging me.
Yeah. I'm not
you're
judging,
all judging
you.
Me.
I'm just waiting.
I was at the store the other day and I saw some sandwiches for sale. You ever notice how when you buy sandwiches, they come wrapped in that plastic wrapping paper? What is that? Plastic wrapping paper? Is it plastic or is it paper? Which is it?
I mean, I'm not entirely sure.
I don't buy sandwiches from the grocery store.
I make them at home.
Yes, I make my own sandwiches.
Your anecdote is unrelatable.
Okay, fine.
I do
replace grocery store with like a sandwich. You ever go notice when
a
you go
sandwich shop?
You never notice when you go to a sandwich shop, they give you those sandwiches.
What
with,
country do you live in?
You ever notice when you go to a sandwich shop, you go, they give you a sandwich and it's wrapped in that.
What are these sandwiches?
Are you gonna let me fucking finish? See, this is what we're talking about. You couldn't do it for like a minute. Patrick even like set the stage.
He's got you there, Jesse.
Like, he does. I'm shutting up.
Like you are so quiet when Patrick talks.
He's not though. Seriously, listen back to the podcast.
Okay, see, and then makes
he
a joke.
In
and I had a great joke going, and now I'm going to say it again, and it's not funny right. anymore.
No.
You ever
notice, ready for the great joke?
You never notice when you go to the sandwich shop and you buy a sandwich, and they give you a sandwich. It's all wrapped in that plastic paper. What's the deal with that? Is it plastic or is it paper?
Yeah, moving into the sandwich shop definitely helped.
Is it plastic or is it paper?
I mean, I still don't get that part, but I do think it works better.
It still
works better in the context of a sandwich shop.
Paper,
I'm still getting hung up on this sandwich shop.
Is because you've never been to a fucking sandwich shop? Subway. I don't go to Subway. Pick one you go to then, Jesse.
Potbelly?
Yeah, sure.
defunct Quiznet.
This is how I got this guy worked up this episode.
But here's the thing. So, like, you get paper. That comes from a tree. That's natural, right? And you get
paper comes from a tree.
Oh, my God. Patrick said that you guys were going to be quiet while I told a joke, and you guys are not being quiet. There's nothing quiet about... Okay, Patrick is being quiet.
I'll be quiet. I'll be peace. Sorry, peace and quiet.
So paper comes from a tree, right? And trees are natural. Plastic, that doesn't come from anything natural. It comes from something unnatural. So what do you get
plastic
when you...
Plastic is made from petroleum.
You just fucking
sorry.
Did it. Jesus.
This time sorry.
You guys, I think you guys have a medical condition.
I mean, I'm not going to say you're right.
I can't argue with you. Yeah.
So you got something that's not natural from the earth like a tree, and you got something from plastic that's some kind of synthetic byproduct of something that maybe once upon a time was natural, but for all intents and purposes, it's not natural. So what do you get when you put something natural with something unnatural together? You get nothing, man. So when you go to a store, they're actually wrapping your sandwich in nothing. What are you going to do about that? Okay. What's the deal?
Hopefully you can eat that.
Was that
sandwich.
A funny joke?
Hilarious.
That was my tight five.
It wasn't quite five.
Well, it was five with all the peanut gallery comments here.
Tight 45 seconds.
No, with all the comments from you guys, I think this was a good 5 minutes.
But where did you buy this sandwich?
It doesn't... You're getting hung up on the wrong shit, man.
Jesse gets hung up on the particulars from time to time.
I'm sorry.
Haven't you ever fucking bought a sandwich from a store? Haven't you ever bought a goddamn sandwich? The Italian store. Potbelly. McDonald's.
I used to live across the street from
Jack in the Box.
You like McDonald's?
Jack in the Box.
You've been to, like, bought a sandwich in your life? Haven't you bought a sandwich in your entire life ever?
I do have a segue.
Jesus, what does it matter?
This is so great.
I have a segue to get us back on topic here, because I was curious. I wanted to ask you guys... You know, we touched on this worm business, and I wanted to ask you guys what you thought the worm would taste like, and I'll add on to that. What do you think would make for a good worm sandwich? One of these. What'd you call it, Dan?
Probably a big shrimp.
I was calling it an arachnopede.
An arachnopede, which is a horrifying.
Yeah. Arachnopede.
I'm not scared of spiders. I'm not scared of millipedes or centipedes. I'm not into this whole arachnopede.
It's probably white meat, like a funny shrimp.
I've probably mentioned this before, but as a kid, I used to be terrified of those like cave crickets that you'd get in your basement.
Yeah.
And now I see them like standing on my bathroom wall while I'm using the facilities,
in
your basement.
No, but I'm just like saying hi to them. I'm like, hey, buddy, what's up? Like, they don't scare me anymore, even though they're creepy crawly, kind of like a spider, almost.
Yeah. They never really bother me.
But I used to be so scared of them. I don't know what happened, but one day I just started being. They're like my friends now. I don't know what happened.
It's just a detente of some sort.
Yeah. I give up.
I don't like it when they get too jumpy.
Yeah,
and like I'm trying to.
I think that's what weirds
I'm
people.
I'm trying
out.
To like do something. What on weirds the toilet me out? Possibilities.
No, what weirds
jumping.
Around. What weirds me out about those things is when they jump, when they land, it makes a noise when they
hit
the ground. That's
weird.
Yeah.
They're big.
Me
they're big. They're
pretty,
loud.
Pretty
they,
meaty.
They make yeah. A, yeah, meaty.
Meaty. You could eat them.
Pretty meaty.
You could eat them.
It's not bad for the right reasons.
Are meaty.
So we were talking about Star Trek at some point. What's Division 12? Is that like Section 31?
That was my next note.
Whoa.
It was interesting.
Fucking
right?
A.
And I was trying to rack my brain, and honestly, I forgot to look it up. I intended to, if there was a previous reference to Division 12. Looks like Dan might be checking it out right now. Maybe he's checking on Memory Alpha. But yeah, you kind of thought like, wouldn't that be a Section 31
one,
thing?
A Facebook post from 1 week ago, someone is asking about what Division 12 is. So yeah, this is like a new question.
And they wouldn't, in theory, they're not supposed to know about Section 31. So that's why you wouldn't bring up Section 31. Maybe Division 12 is like their X-Files or Warehouse 13. Maybe Division 12 is a play on Warehouse 13, which was a television program, I believe, on the Sci-Fi Network. I never saw it.
The Lone Gunman.
People said it was good.
Oh, is Division 12 the military unit that Mbanga was in or something?
Could be. Maybe.
Oh, maybe that sounds vaguely believable.
I shirked my podcasting responsibilities.
No, I'm thinking of Protocol 12, which is like the drug that he took.
Oh, yeah, the super... Super drug.
Protocol.
Yeah. Wow, what is Division? So let's see what the AI says. AI overview of Google Gemini says Division 12 in Star Trek refers to a fictional mysterious Starfleet division featured in Star Trek Strange New Worlds that is potentially connected to Division 14, which handles mysterious science or medical. I don't know if I buy into this AI overview, but like...
Yeah, you always have to be tricky. But again, while you continue or don't continue to solve that mystery, I just remembered that I wanted to follow up on a point you made earlier, Dan. You were asking about this whole pilot thing. Like, how did
Ortega's... What's a pilot?
How did Ortega say that the Gorn lady was the sexy Gorn lady was a pilot? There was a funny comment or a funny thread on Reddit where some pilots were talking about, that's the thing about pilots is you'll always know like a pilot is a pilot because they're going to find a way to tell you that they're a pilot. And they're like, so this is in character for Ortega's as a pilot to find a way to make the conversation be like, are you a pilot? I'm a pilot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Affirmative.
So it seems like people on Reddit, it seems like nobody really knows what Division 12 is. It's not even on Memory Alpha as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Isn't that fucked
up? What a bunch of jabronis.
Yeah, I know.
A whole sack full of jabronis.
A jabroni sack. Jabroni sack.
Put your jabronis in a sack.
Let's see. Sucka. What else we got here?
I've got all sorts of stuff.
Who's that picture of that kid she had at the beginning? Was that Beto?
I think it's Beto.
And then, of course, she had the piece at the end indicating that the Gordon, sexy Gordon lady, was now a part of her family.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. The first watch
through. That's the thing she didn't eat.
The first watch through, I didn't like notice that. I was just like, why are they showing that picture of that kid again? Oh. It was like, yeah. I thought there was something significant. Is this a kid that died? And then the second,
you're like, why is there a turd on the shelf?
And then, like, yeah, it took me until the second time to be like, oh, yeah, that was the fucking piece she got from the Gorn. I felt
this is a game, not a food group.
It was sweet.
I like how, like, the Gorn got all hurt when she was like, I'm not going to eat that. Yeah. And I was like, come on, man. Come on. Are you serious?
Another very enjoyable thing was the board game playing, right? Yeah, that's a great shorthand for showing people, especially with a language barrier, finding a way to communicate, share their culture.
I wonder if she felt insecure because like that Gorn could already beat her at chess.
Yeah, but then she beat the Gorn at the
board game. That Gorn game looked tight.
It looked like
that board was awesome.
It looked kind of like nine men's Morris or something like that.
It was weird.
Or maybe the German game Mensch ärgerlich nicht.
I won.
I was a big fan of Mensch ärgerlich nicht.
I never played that one.
Did you ever play the Viking?
Mama needs a new shuttlecraft.
Hey, this joke?
Mama needs a new shuttlecraft.
That's funny because that's what you say, like, Mama needs a new pair of shoes. Right. And she was saying, Mama needs a new shuttlecraft. Yeah. But it's funny because she actually did need a new shuttlecraft.
She was stranded. It was swallowed
that was clever.
By the booze.
Yeah.
Stranded on a horrifying planet.
Worms ate her shuttlecraft.
Oh, no, man.
Though it was very predictable that at some point they were going to...
They were
going
to.
Okay.
Going in.
Everyone, I'm pointing at Dan. I'm tapping my nose.
Now he's the perpetrator.
We strongly suspected since last season that at one point or another, they would aim on this show to humanize the Gorn. Right?
Yes. Oh,
because
right.
that's the Star Trek thing to do.
Yes.
And that's... Obviously, what happened in this episode, we got a humanization of the Gorn and a very well done one. My main kind of issue is not with this episode, but sort of like the Gorn are like horrifying monster creatures until now.
Yeah, right. It's kind of jarring.
There wasn't like a gradual like, oh, there's a hint of this or a hint of that mm-hmm. they're like maybe not. Slattering
right,
monster
right.
creatures.
There wasn't,
nothing built
it's
up.
Like, it's like,
and this was like a sick Gorn.
It's right. It's like they're this until this episode when we decide they're that. And there was no like
CGI puppet.
Yeah, right. Now, but I'm glad you brought that up because I am at least glad though, like you kind of just said, I'm going to be kind of reiterating what you said, is that my concern was that, yeah, the Gorn were presented as monsters.
Represent.
And
monsters.
Pike was based, you know, Pike was like, they're monsters, and everyone, Lon's like, they're monsters, and Ortega's like, they're monsters, and everyone's like, they're monsters, and look at all these monsters, oh my god, everything's great except for these monsters. And so, like, it's
they
like, and I was getting a little concerned, because I was like, come on, like, we got to see that there's, like, not just some kind of... Big heavy. Is that what they call the bad guys? The big heavies?
I mean, once upon a time they did.
Big bad.
They're just not bad. They're just
the
not these
like,
bad.
The kids like heavies
so
and dames.
I'm relieved.
Well, nobody in Star Trek is always like the super bad. It's just always like some kind of misunderstanding.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's kind of my point that I'm getting at is that my concern for this season was that they were not going to do that. Mm-hmm. My concern was that they were just going to present them as 100% terrible all the time. And I was relieved. Mm-hmm. I was more relieved than anything else that they went with something like this. Because like I was reminded of, I kept thinking about that. Was it season 3 of Picard where Picard and Raffi get captured by that FBI agent? Was that season 3? And then like they go to the FBI for a while. We learn that dude saw some Vulcans when he was a kid, the FBI agent. But like, and after it's over, they just let him go. And like nothing came of it.
That was common throughout Picard.
Yeah, and I was saying, and I think it was either that moment or there was another moment where I was like, in our podcast, I was like, they better bring those things back for like the final battle or do something where they bring them back. Otherwise, why did they introduce those things? Yeah. And they never brought them back. So with Picard, I got kind of used to this idea of these things being introduced that you thought might pan out but just never did.
You're describing an abusive relationship. Yeah, you're like literally watching Star Trek and wincing.
Yeah.
out of concern that they're gonna make sort of a thematic failure.
So that's kind of what I was concerned with this season. So I'm more relieved that they went with an episode like this, even though, like you said, it's not like anything. It's not a revolutionary episode, but it was a very enjoyable episode, mm-hmm. and it's always great to see. Like Ortegas is great in a role, and I did enjoy seeing the Gorn, you know, puppet Gorn, like doing Gorny things, and
Gorny.
But I felt like everyone was so quick to give up on. I know they had a whole planet full of like vaccinated people they needed to get to.
Which, by the way, it's almost a joke at this point where the Enterprise is always having to deliver a fucking vaccine. And it's always some like weird vaccine. It's not like the flu vaccine for like, or even like hepatitis vaccine to protect them against, you know, future issue. It's like, no, if they don't get the vaccine, everyone's going to die. Right. It's a magic vaccine that will protect them. But,
or some kind of special like quadra triticale.
But the vaccine thing, it is almost a joke, but it is great because it's shortcut. Again, mm-hmm. we've talked about it. It's a literary device.
The D would do that shit.
The D, the A, all of them.
All of them, this Enterprise.
But my point being, the reason it works is because they need a time pressure.
Yeah.
And you could come up with a million time pressures, but so many would be easily dismissed by the audience because they'd be like, fuck that, I want to save my favorite character. Right. But by making it be like, no, a bunch of old ladies and young children will die in a horrible pain. That's one that makes it harder to be like, oh, I'm now.
Damn it.
I'm thinking about this. And again.
Damn it.
And again, I was about to say humanize, but I'm reminded of the comments by Azet Burr, Chancellor Gorkon's daughter in Star Trek VI, the undiscovered country, when they're talking about human rights, and she points out that saying human rights or humanizing you know, that's specious in and of itself in the context of Star Trek.
Problematic way to speak.
The other, speaking of sort of devices that, you know, get the plot to be able to move in the way it wants to move. The other one they did was that they were talking about how gravity was all crazy in that area. They're like, gravity's crazy in this area. And what that was allowed them to do is to be like, oh, well, the only person that can handle this is Ortega. So that was like a good reason to have only Ortegas go down, because she would have to fly manually through the crazy gravity, and not even Spock could manage like it or whatever. You know, so that's how they were able to like make it like, you know, so it was just her. Right. Now,
luckily, the gravity wasn't crazy on the moon.
Yeah.
It was perfectly normal gravity.
So, like, I guess we're to assume that the Gorn got sucked into that planet for the same reason that Ortegas did. We don't know how long the Gorn was down there for. Yeah. And I guess we're also to assume that the Metrons set it all up.
Yes.
Like, that's why the wormhole appeared.
Who knows if it was even a real Gorn? I mean, if it's all a setup.
I don't know how I feel about, like,
I mean, I guess it's a real specimen.
Using the Enterprise as a wormhole stop to keep it open. I mean, it was kind of interesting. But like,
I'm fine with.
I mean, I didn't have a problem. It's just, I thought it was an interesting idea. I just was like, that's pretty fucking far out.
For me, I had a bigger problem with the inclusion of the Metrons. I think it was unnecessary. It was one of the more fan-baity
things.
You won't
remember me.
It's like, okay, it's not going to remember you, but I'm going to like give you some exposition to explain.
You may keep it.
Yeah, it was just some exposition.
To explain what's going on. And also,
it's all like enigmatic. It's like, one time we may have to reset your, what was they saying?
It's no Guardian of Forever. Yeah. That's for
sure. I also thought they missed an opportunity.
We may need to reset your perception of the Gorn as well. It was
that's
kind of cryptic
weird.
And
why
weird.
Do they care about the Gorn so
yeah,
much?
I don't know what that was. There was some kind of test or something they were
so
doing.
So I think, after we're done with this season, maybe what we do is we do Arena, because we haven't covered TOS's Arena.
We haven't?
No, we haven't. So
are you sure?
I think there's value in us doing Arena, because the Metrons appear in Arena as well.
Strange sparkle thing!
Where I think they missed a potential opportunity here is, I think the idea that they've set up this experiment, which is the same thing that happens in Arena, right? They've set up this experiment and they give this exposition about whatever, and they're like, we're just testing, so we grabbed a couple people in this. I was like, wouldn't it have been more interesting if these events had happened naturally, but the Metrons were, they observed it, and they're like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. And then they were like, that's what motivated them to do the experiment with Kirk and the Gorn commander in Arena. To me, that would be, it'd be almost a more natural thing and more justification for why they did, because it almost seems like they had this experiment, and then they're like, we're going to do another one.
Right.
In like 4 years, we're going to do like another one. It's like, okay, That's not as interesting as like, right, ooh,
on the same ship.
We thought you guys were all assholes, but you intrigued us. Both of you intrigued
us.
We
have a slightly different crew, so we're going to try it again.
Yeah, it was ever just, so slightly
it was
different.
Just, it was a little confusing, the whole Metron inclusion thing.
But, to me, while I've offered an alternative way to frame it, I think take out the Metrons, unnecessary. Yeah. Just keep the story as it is. And it works a little bit better thematically.
Because it was strictly for the audience, because like, they were like, you're not going to remember any
and
of this.
You know it's confusing because a lot of people who haven't seen TOS or who don't remember Arena were like, the fuck was that Metron shit about? It just sort of seemed like it came out of the blue. Now, that all being said, I was like a real fan of the little twinkly Metrons in the distance, like when Ortega's
strange sparkle thing.
Yeah, when she exactly when she kept complaining about that, I was like, something the vibe of that special effect was sort of creepy.
Yeah.
Fire cube.
There's something going on.
This is her Street Fighter move.
Fire cube.
She summons fire cube.
Fire cube.
That's my Street Fighter move.
Fire cube.
Hadouken.
Fire cube.
Fire cube.
Oh no.
Great sparkle thing!
A thruster pack with propellant in the tank. A thruster pack with propellant in the tank.
A thruster pack with propellant in the tank.
The big fiery.
Kaboom!
Kaboom.
Ghost stories at sea.
A little too raff.
Do me a favor, Dan. Me a favor. Play that clip of Ortegas again that you just played. The ghost.
Strange sparkle thing.
No. The ghosts at sea or whatever.
Ghost stories at sea.
Now get ready to play that again. Didn't that sound like a music cue from Deep Space Nine?
Actually, and
I know it's not quite, but they use the same horns.
And that's interesting you mentioned that, because there's this.
Ghost stories at sea.
And I had forgotten that this had that musical cue in it, because at the last minute, I specifically took out this part.
The kind of thing Division 12 usually looks into. Ghost stories at sea.
I took out a longer cut specifically for the music. This is all to say that, like, yes, it does sound like... I was thinking TNG, but when you mentioned DS9, I was thinking you're probably right. It's more probably DS9 than TNG.
You guys are the music people. To me, it sounds more French horns. French horns. What other horns are in there?
Sort of more fanfare.
I think you're right. It's more DS9.
The kind of thing Division 12 usually looks into.
There's a
ghost stories at sea.
There's a roundness to the notes.
A lot of French horns. Moans.
You know, the roundness.
Perhaps so.
Not my music synesthesia is round.
There's a lot of strings in there too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Well,
I that stood out to me as well. And at the end of that clip, she starts saying
synesthesia.
Some mystery words. She starts saying whispering some words. There was one part where Uhura started saying a bunch of words. Yeah. This part.
Oh, in Swahili.
Yes.
But like, was that like a reference to an earlier episode or something?
I agree with Jesse. My assumption was she's just saying something in Swahili.
I had the subtitles and it said speaking in Swahili. It didn't say what she was speaking.
But like,
and she is. It was understood that she is from a Swahili speaking.
Yeah, but
region.
it seemed okay. I mean, I just thought it was like the way they did it. It almost seemed like it was a reference to something else that occurred in this season, but it wasn't.
Not necessarily.
My presumption is that the intention, though perhaps not fully well executed, but the intention was to show, okay, when somebody is reverting to their first or native language, that's an indicator that shit's going down.
Yeah.
Is Swahili supposed to be like her native first language?
It is.
She's from Kenya.
Yeah. And
you know, I had a
Dr. Menga, I believe, also.
There was speaks in my elementary school, there was a teacher. She was from South Africa. And she was teaching us some Swahili words. Njovu means lion. That's all I remember. Njovu means lion.
Good.
That's all I remember.
I don't know enough about languages to know if they speak Swahili in South Africa, but maybe they do.
Well, I'm not saying that she...
It could be disconnected.
I don't know. She was from South Africa. Yeah,
it's the same continent.
Yeah.
What have I got?
Indeed.
Zebras.
That's what
I mean, that's the assumption I have.
Was it Uhura that said, she goes, I'm going to get you so much data, it's going to be coming out your ears. No, that was Ortegas that said that.
Yeah.
I like that. That was a great interaction because Spock just like deadpanned her and looked at her. Yeah. And she's like,
he's got pointy ears.
She's like, it's an expression. You know that, right? And he just like looked at her real fucking hard.
And weren't
they
all goofing on him? Like, did you see how Spock was looking at him?
And he was like, sorry, my whole train of thought just got wrecked.
I didn't even mean to do it.
No, it's okay. I was, Dennis,
using his hands to physically manipulate the space in front of him.
No, I loved Spock's reaction. I thought it was great because he stared her down, and then when she says, and it's an expression, you know that, right? And he looked at her even harder, and he just moved on, and he didn't address it. Mm-hmm. He didn't make a comment. He didn't give a reaction. You could just see that something about that really, like, pissed him off. But, like, you're not really sure why, because, like, you know it's ears. They always make jokes about ears, but they weren't even joking about his ears. They were just talking about ears instead of... So he's so sensitive that he was probably like, they're saying that because of my ears. And he should have said that out loud. Should have been like, did you say that because of my ears? Because then Ortegas could be like, no, I wasn't saying it because your ears. It's just an expression. But he apparently didn't know that expression, because if he did, he wouldn't assume it was about him.
Right.
Anyway. Well, I don't know that he assumed about him. I think he was still aggravated that he wasn't getting to go on the fun science adventure.
And then a minute later, they fat shame him.
Did they?
Yeah.
What did they say?
Every ounce counts.
That when they said every ounce counts, and that's when he was talking about. She goes, and you, Mr. Spock, are too many ounces. And he's like, and then Uhura laughs, and then he goes, I maintain my weight within a variance of 1.8 kilograms.
Now is that's probably good, right? What's 1.8 kilograms?
Like, that sounds fine.
Is that like 5 pounds?
That guy looks perfectly healthy.
I think that's
isn't a kilogram like 2 pounds or something?
No, it's 2.2, so 1.8 is 4 pounds.
Yeah,
I think.
All right. I was a little generous in my estimate.
I think it's 4 pounds. Let me just double.
You say 4 pounds, I say 5 pounds. But I'm not saying it due to math. I'm saying it due to vibes.
Doo-doo. You said doo-doo.
Doo-doo.
Oh, no. Speaking of which,
But
isn't a kilogram is a mass?
And it's 3.96.
A pound is a weight.
Oh, 3.96. So you're right, 4.
Yes, I know four-ish. That. Yeah, I mean, it's a mass and a weight, but they, like, on Earth, it
I know
means
that's
the
how
same.
They
it
use
means
it,
the same. Though, yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean the same thing because mass doesn't change. Blah, blah, blah.
No, yeah.
But, like,
yes. Practically speaking.
But practically speaking,
day to day.
A pound equivalent. Is 2.
That's how those metric folks do
a kilogram it. Is 2.2 pounds approximately. Good. So it's like 3.96 pounds. 4 pounds.
We learn
4 pounds.
Something every day.
No,
good,
we don't.
Good for Canada.
I don't know that we do learn new things every day.
I don't.
Well, I
try not to.
I think we learn new things. We don't necessarily learn useful things.
I learn about how I made a bunch of mistakes.
Oh.
Not helpful.
Exactly. Totally, just not helpful.
Totally. Recent scans have revealed a new problem.
This isn't looking promising. Things look bad. Really, really bad. Crap.
Ethan Peck does a great job. Exactly what you're talking about, in Dan. Throughout the whole series, of course, but I think particularly this season.
He's a really great guy.
They've given him a lot of different things to do, and I know variable opinion on what's been successful and not, but he's been great at what he's been given.
Yeah. He's done everything they've asked.
And those little looks that he give.
Is that a cherry cup?
They're not the same as what Leonard Nimoy would do, but they fill the same purpose, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a slightly different vibe. He's got his own vibe for Spock, but with the similar kind of thing, sort of like that quiet, constant frustration with being surrounded by all these ridiculous people.
He's young Spock.
How long was she supposed? Because they were talking about the wormhole, like is known. They were talking about wormholes are supposed to like they're supposed to be like really volatile, and it said it'd been non-variant or something for like 46 hours.
Yeah. I think the idea is normally they're kind of like come and go.
Yeah, right. But like makes me wonder, like, so how long was Ortegas on the planet? Was she on there for more than 46 hours? Like. Or is that like how
so. I
it
makes a good
me
long
it makes me wonder how long after they observed the wormhole did Ortegas go down there? How long did it take her to get there? And how long was she on the planet? We don't really have any idea.
There
of how
was
long
the game
down.
Playing montage that might have taken. I mean, it might have taken them like a few days just to learn each other's games.
Yeah, that's true. So they were probably down there for a good while. You know,
it wasn't very clear.
It wasn't clear how long they were down there. But she was, because she when she got down to the planet, she was like, she didn't know what the star date was. And I was thinking, like, he couldn't have been down that long. I mean, you could probably guesstimate a star date. Of course, I don't know how they work. But she
could do all that other shit. But she couldn't guess the start.
Yeah, she could make a water condenser out of shuttle parts.
That was really tight.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah. She took a nap and she woke up and it's like it's ready. And then she was like, "Yeah,
yeah." She was so
it's
hyped.
Fucking water.
And yeah. It was sort of realistic survival.
I made it out of my air.
And then somehow she made a universal translator sort of out of like ship parts.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't know what she used for that.
Very convenient that the Gorn understood everything she said.
Yeah.
It's nothing wrong with that. It's Star Trek, boys. Star Trek, girls.
There was an interesting nuance. Maybe we want to bring it up in the next break.
All right. Think about that for a tease. Yeah. So here's what we got coming at you the next break. We have an interesting nuance, at least what Dan claims is interesting.
So what do you want?
Interesting nuance.
Do we have new duty? Or
are
no
there any
duty?
Duties or no duties?
There are no duties or no duties.
Are there any lists? Are there any, what's the other thing we do? Is there another thing?
So what do you want?
Are there any that's in orders?
We gotta interrupt Dan some more when he tries to talk to us.
No, there's not.
No interrupt
him. So what do you want?
And this guy's saying, what do you want from me? Right, so what do you want from me?
The main thing will be...
So what do you want?
What do you want from me? And this guy's saying, what do you want from me?
We'll learn this special nuance from Dan, and we'll conclude our discussion of
Rotisserarium. Chicken.
We will be... right back.
We still have time to explore more avenues.
And we're back.
No one's giving up yet.
Now come and face me!
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it!
One question I have.
What's that, Patrick?
For you gents.
What's that, guy?
Gentlemen.
What's that, guy?
Did you notice...
Why is Captain Pike such a snack?
Just one question?
Did you notice... Did y'all notice how much expository ADR there was in this episode? A lot of instances, and if you get a chance to watch this again, pay attention. A lot of instances where you don't see, you see Ortegas from behind or whatever, and it's like, it's a good thing that this thing happened because otherwise the plot wouldn't move forward as clearly. It happened a bunch of times with, particularly with Ortegas, but a couple other characters as well.
Why the ruse?
I know that happens sometimes, but like, for example, at one point you see Ortegas from behind and the sound quality is all different. And she's all like, oh, I see. You've used this communication device and turned it into a force field, protecting us from the worms at night and the storm. And then it goes to her face, you know, and continues the scene. There was a lot of that.
How are you going
to
do that?
A lot of that.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's just what happens in television sometimes.
Yeah, it's like they don't always, like, I don't know if that's like some kind of network note or whatever, they're saying like the audience isn't smart enough to figure out what you're doing. It's like you have to tell them it's a deflector shield. It's like I can figure out it's a shield because this thing goes whoop and like the things bounce off of it. You don't need to tell me it's a personal deflector shield.
My impression was exactly that, Dan. Yeah. My impression was that these ADR lines were for the purpose of clarifying the plot for the audience, perhaps in a way that was unnecessary because of studio notes. Other reasons why you might have ADR is, I mean, the primary reason is if the audio wasn't good or easy to pick up on the day. Sure, that's what it's mainly for. Sometimes you realize, oh shit, you know, we didn't film something or some scene didn't work out and we really need this information. And a variation on that is you did film something, but you had to cut it for time. So you've got to like get the information in there a different way. It's fine. I get it. That does happen.
It's funny when you see sort of an angled behind the headshot. Yeah. So you can't see the front of their face,
but you can
tell it's ADR'd because you see their cheek muscles moving around
and it's not
matching up at all. I was that part when Ortegas was like,
"I just killed us."
When she blew up their deflector thing, I wasn't clear what happened there because she like did her fire thing. She cast fireball, but then it made her blow up and go backwards. The atmosphere hadn't been filled with fire juice yet, had it? Like there was a scene where she like blasted all those arachnopedes, and it like blew her backwards.
That was when she blasted the battery
with a flare.
It was with a flare, yeah. But why did it blow up so big? Because I know that like
the atmosphere.
I know the atmosphere. That's how they created that SOS was because they made the atmosphere catch on fire, which is crazy. But I thought that this was pre that, but I don't know.
This was pre that, and maybe maybe we're intended to understand that set up her idea for later. Right.
But then how did it happen in the first? I don't. Doesn't matter. Oh wait, I had
she was
a,
just being careless.
So there was when we were talking with the teaser we did.
The nuance. Dan's special nuance.
My special.
It's a new feature.
Yet another.
Yeah, Dan's special nuance.
You like that? Do we need to make a jingle for that?
I can feel you're watching!
Don't interrupt Dan's special.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're like, we're going to be quiet now while you tell this thing, and then 5 seconds later, you're like, watch that, I don't know. Hey, did you ever think about that thing the other day? It's like, I don't know, I'm not talking about that thing right now. I'm talking about this other thing.
You're the great.
I mean, it's true. He is.
Aw.
He is the greatest.
You guys.
I know. We're still getting to Dan's special thing, but I was
Mayday.
I was bragging to some colleagues at work about Dan's awesome cat awesomeness. Like, Dan's like an awesome cat dad. Because like, there's a group of us at work that are all like cat people, and we're all talking about how awesome cats, and people are talking about like, I want to have a house where I can do all this awesome stuff with my cats. I was like, I have a friend who can do
it. He has like 4 cat trees.
Totally.
Like three in the basement.
That's
and one,
really cool, yeah.
You know, I have too many cat trees. It's
too many cat trees.
I wish I had room for that stuff, because my cats would dig that.
Yeah, way too many cat trees.
Too many cats?
Too many cats.
All right, Dan's special nuance.
Okay,
nuance corner.
when she made the sort of translator thing, and she goes to Gorny Girl, she goes, "You study your prey, right?" And she goes to the Gorny Girl. She's like, "So you study your prey," and then Gorny Girl goes, "If I can find." This is supposed to be one of the easier sound effects for me to find, because it's in the negatory.
You didn't need
she
to
goes,
tell us that.
Yeah, well, I was vamping.
I know. But you could have claimed that this is actually very difficult. That's why it's taking so long.
Right. I should have lied. That's true. No, I should have played it up. You got to play it up for the
God audience. Damn it, you guys.
Okay. So, yeah, thank you, Jesse, for getting us back on track. She goes, "You study your prey." And then it goes,
"Disagree."
I mean, sorry. She goes,
"Disagree."
Okay. So she's saying negatory.
Not prey.
We do not study your prey. But then when she goes, "You understand you want to understand your enemy." It goes,
agree.
So it doesn't want to study the prey. They want to understand your enemy. And there's an interesting subtle difference there, because it's almost like the Gorn is showing her, like, is saying, like, you're still a fucked up asshole, but
she's not going to eat her.
But the Gorn's saying, you're still like a fucked up asshole, but we hold you on a more even level of respect, almost. Because when you say someone's a prey, it's like,
you're going to eat
her. Yeah, we're just chasing you down. We're going to get you eventually. Mm-hmm. But when she says you're our enemy, she's treating like with more respect. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like you work, we're griefing you. You're griefing us too. You
sometimes
know,
sometimes
so,
that's a pretty high honor to be somebody's
right.
honored
so,
enemy. We're gonna figure you out.
Yeah. So I thought it was interesting that they decided to include that distinction in that conversation, because they really didn't need to. But like, I thought it added a nice bit of texture to like the relationship between them.
Well observed.
Yeah.
Dan.
I wholeheartedly agree. And that was a very good nuance.
Isn't it great when we let you finish what you're talking about?
It's so great. Yeah. That was Dan's. That's
interrupting you all the goddamn time.
First step to a problem is admitting you have one or something. That was episode of Dan's special nuance. Or Dan's special subtle nuance. I also wanted to mention that the Gorn laughed at her slumber party hair braiding joke. Mm-hmm. And I would believe that they would have slumber parties in Gorn country, so she would laugh at that part. But I don't know if they would understand a joke about braiding hair.
Maybe they sort of understood what hair was, because they've
But like what
and the joke is they don't have hair.
Because they don't have hair, but they get it, and they'd be like, ha.
But culturally, braiding hair would be much more important to a species that had hair. If you don't have hair, you could recognize from a distance that that's something people do, but you wouldn't be aware of how much like time and effort is and you know.
But if she studied her enemy,
and she wouldn't know how much time and effort and fanfare is put into this whole concept of doing things to various parts of your body. Like, Gorgons must have some weird body part, like a cloaca or something, that they like have special cloaca parties or something that we wouldn't understand.
A Gorny cloaca party.
I don't know what they do at a cloaca party. I don't understand the cultural significance. I don't know the cultural significance of a cloaca party, you know? So, like, I'm just saying, like, I think the Gorn was either A, laughing politely to be polite,
yes,
or the Gorn was like, wanted to be cool with her and was like, was doing the thing where she laughed because she wanted to make Ortegas think she got the joke, and so in that way the Gorn is like insecure around Ortegas, and the Gorn actually has a lot of respect. She's probably like, Ortegas, you're so cool. You think that I'm cool? I think you're cool. They could have been the best of friends. Of course they had to kill her off because they didn't want to have to deal with the repercussions of having this Gorn character to deal with afterwards.
It would be hilarious if they just had the goofy hijinks of the Gorn characters just lumbering around the Enterprise.
I know, that would be so awesome.
Like, oh, we have to deal with this fucking Gorn.
You knew it was like as soon as like Lon was there, like she was gonna just blast that Gorn.
Yeah,
she's like blast him.
And so I guess the reason they killed the Gorn is they were supposed to make some kind of point, but at the same time it was convenient because it's like, okay, now we don't have to deal with the aftermath of like having this Gorn that can't go back to its home planet. We can't bring it back on the Enterprise and write it into the show. Now I guess what they could have done is put it on its own ship and sent it on its merry way. Sci-fi shows have done that for a long time, where they just put the character on a ship and they fly away. But I guess they were making a point that like about like, and the Metrons talked about it. It's like, oh, you humans and Gorns can't get along, like, and he was kind of pointing to the thing where Lon shot the Gorn and how you don't trust each other. That old yarn. Sure.
That works.
Was the Metron a he or a they?
I think the idea is that, which is cool, is the Metrons are undefinable in terms of.
But, that's what it seems.
But it was so, now, and if the, like, that ending, I will say I was really bummed out when that Gorn died. Yeah. I mean, even though like it wasn't surprising that
it
happened,
really sad.
It was a credit to the puppet acting and especially to Melissa Navia for creating the connection with the monster puppet.
Yeah, the monster puppet. No, I was like super sad about that whole thing because she promised her she was gonna like Ortegas like broke her promise and was like, because she was like, you can come back to my ship and we'll like you be happy together, and she broke her promise.
I think my friends killed you.
I think Quibbles aside. The mark of a good episode is if it can instill in the audience that, if it can evoke or elicit, let's say, elicit's the best word.
Elicit Navia?
Elicit that type of reaction.
Elicit Navia.
To elicit that sort of emotional reaction, particularly for a monstrous cloaca party going lizard creature.
Cloaca party.
That is.
Why do you think they have cloaca?
Impressive.
No!
I'm presuming they have cloacas because they're all lizards.
Is that what lizards have as cloaca?
No, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah, mostly with lizards. Lizards and birds often have a cloaca.
You ain't my bird.
No!
They always like the whole trope with like shows and movies and stuff is they still stick to that trope of like the creature with the sharp pointy teeth and the pointy things and it looks all demon like is always evil and terrible, and that's kind of what they were doing with the Gorn this whole season. They had all the stereotypes of like an evil, quote unquote, evil looking creature, you know,
with claws,
and all the sharp pointy,
basically a dinosaur,
all the sharp pointy angular things. But then it's nice that even though this kind of story has been done before, it's nice to see like what is traditionally shown as a monster creature. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they have that. They chose that to humanize. That's not the right word.
They chose that fucking thing to humanize it.
To gift us with empathy for.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Interesting construction, but
I don't know how to word it.
Knock. Who's there?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes. What we haven't discussed much is the horror part.
Oh.
We touched on it.
I'll touch on you.
He will.
Uhura, like, straight up, like, faking Data. Dan, you were getting close to it.
You sure about this?
Because earlier you were saying, like, man, everyone was eager to be like, oh, I don't know. I think she's fucking gone in the wormhole. And Uhura was the main person driving. Now, Pike was, like, right there with her. But he was with her the whole time.
Well,
but he also, the whole time he needed somebody to say there's a chance.
Yeah.
Whether it was Uhura or Spock or whoever, he did need that. Whereas Uhura was like, no, I'm 100% positive she's alive and we got
to
try.
Yeah, so Pike revealed that he was with her the whole time. Yeah, but he wasn't willing to reveal that. Like you said, Patrick, I think he needed someone to sort of push him along.
And Una was just like, we got to go.
Yeah,
I like it when he was like, I'm the second best pilot on the ship.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I couldn't tell what the joke was there. Was that a joke that like, was she saying that when she goes,
never heard that one before.
Was that her saying like, you say that all the time? Or was that her saying, like, no, you're suck as a pilot, you crash all the time. Like, what was the joke?
Here's my imagined order of events, and I have no way to confirm this. Likely will never be able to confirm this. But Watching through this episode multiple times. This
is No.
That was an accident. Sorry.
This is what I imagine happened to get to that particular thing, because it also stood out at me. Mm-hmm. I think what happened was Melissa Navia or Ortegas is trapped on the planet. Now they need to have, they talked all about how you needed fancy piloting to get through this gravity wave shit. Right. That's the whole reason they sent her in the first place, right? Now, okay, point number one. She's not available to do the fancy navigating. So mm-hmm. now you need the next best pilot. Now, if you watch the show, if you're familiar with the character, you know that Christopher Pike was a pilot. And that's like one of the things he really enjoys doing. They've made reference to that before.
He rides horses.
Okay. So it makes sense for the character of Pike to be the person to drive the ship, even though he is the captain. It does make sense. All right.
Oh, yes.
You wouldn't see Sisko do that because he was more of a logistics guy. You wouldn't see Janeway do that. She's more of a scientist and strategy person.
But it is possible.
You would see Picard do that. Picard was enjoyed being a pilot in his youth.
Yeah. There's one way to be certain.
Probably wouldn't see Kirk do that because Kirk more of a, book on legs or whatever, dictionary on legs, encyclopedia on legs.
Sensor scans are
Archer,
still negative.
Archer you would see because Archer was also similar to Pike, was a pilot and a test pilot.
You're right.
So all that makes sense. So we see Pike sitting there piloting the ship. But then there's this comment where Pike says this weirdly awkward thing. I think that was studio note number one. I think studio note number one was, you can't just have Pike sitting there. Everyone in the audience is going to be like, well, why is he sitting there?
Well, then why did they have the Metrons?
He's got his hair going up like that.
But then the Metrons were like more mysterious than that.
They're consistent here. Yeah. I'm saying, I think they were like, well, we got to explain why he's there and not somebody else.
I know you fudged the numbers.
Okay. So then they have him say that comment. And they're like, okay, to have him say that, have him state it outright. It's exposition stating that Pike is the second best pilot on the ship. Mm-hmm. Done. Then they all look at it and they're like, man, what a weird fucked up thing to say. What an awkward thing. So and he says it all awkwardly too.
So the writers had to work it in somehow.
So then they're like, you know what? Now we got to add a line by Una. Where Una's all like, gee, this guy.
Like a wink at the audience or something?
This guy is always going on.
Damn it.
It all comes off as a little awkward. I would have been perfectly happy if they just had him flying the ship and it's like, context clues.
And then people might be wondering like, well, why isn't he sitting at the captain's chair? Because like Spock was at the captain's chair. So people might be like, why is Pike sitting? But you'd have to remember, like you said, that he was a good pilot, which like is not. Yeah, it's all the things that you can kind of put together. But the Metron thing was a little more mysterious, I thought.
And a little out of the blue. And I guess they figured that's fine because the Metrons, they were portrayed interestingly. I did enjoy the effect on the voice and the costumes was appropriately modern / TOS silly.
Yeah.
Which I think Strange New Worlds has done a largely good job of. Like in Wedding Bell Blues, we got a lot of sort of hilarious costumes that look both campy, but like they're made out of good materials, right?
Oh, no, this can't be right.
Dan, so just for the audience to know, Jesse and I, we looked at Dan and it looked like he was about to make a point.
What the hell am I doing? 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 Oh, no, this can't be right. Oh, no, this can't be right. Oh, no, this can't be right. Oh, no, this can't be right.
Uhura, like, we were talking about Uhura and this fudging the numbers.
Oh, yeah, getting up to some shady stuff.
Fine. I'm not going to quibble too much on this, but it seems like it shouldn't be that easy to fake data on a pad like
right.
that.
Starfleet.
Because like she faked the data, she did a manual override of data, and I can see there might be a reason to be able to do that. But you'd think there'd be plastered in big letters to everyone who received that data that something would say like this is overridden data, because she was able to send Pike the new data, but it didn't send the message that it was overridden to Mike.
But even though it did say it on
her screen.
In big fucking letters.
So we could read it. But it didn't send it to him, and it didn't say it out loud. So somehow, in this system, it's built. Built in the system is a way for an ensign. She's an ensign, right?
Yeah. I believe she's an ensign.
And so if he's the captain, why didn't he see that?
That's what I'm saying. So like in this system, there's built in a way for an ensign to fool and lie and give fake data to your captain.
Yeah.
Well, we also know that he says he aware she did it.
So we can maybe assume that maybe he knew.
Maybe
she didn't realize.
Maybe
that
it did say on his side. He's like, yeah. Jesus, oh, well, I'm with her.
Well, that's the only thing I was thinking is that maybe she thought she was getting away with something and she really wasn't. But I don't know. Yeah.
What do you think of that philosophically from sort of an organizational leadership perspective? Of course, we, in watching a story, we enjoy seeing people break some rules in order to get to where we need to be. It makes sense that Una's character wouldn't be into that because Una is the epitome of Starfleet. That's why she's on the poster.
Except
right?
that she's got blood that Starfleet doesn't want.
Well, that's to complicate and ironify her character.
Yeah. Well, remember from the documentary episode, like Pike's like, sometimes we get orders and you got to follow the orders.
good point.
It seems that
except sometimes
we see a lot of evidence that Pike really, really cares about individual crew members, yes. and he's just not going to leave anybody behind if he can help it.
Yeah,
he's got to be sure. Like they gotta know that she's gone, or they gotta keep looking for her.
Yeah, I'll chalk up to the documentary episode where he's like against breaking rules. I'll chalk that up to he's on camera, and so he couldn't like reveal to the world that he was breaking. That's the only way I can headcanon that one. Yeah. But yeah, like because and Ken Forey, like you know, yeah, he went to do the Battelle thing when he wasn't supposed to, and this like he allowed Uhura to like break the rules and he didn't tell her. It was weird though that he didn't tell her until the very end, which is kind of bizarre. Like, I mean, I guess I don't know why he was allowed her to keep like thinking.
Like, what if
Uhura
was like, oh shit, it's SS-57. I guess we can't do it. You think he'd be like, nah, well, fuck it, we'll do it anyway? Like, presumably he would have, right? Because he was like, I was gonna try this no matter what.
Yeah.
What if it was like 45%?
So I don't know.
I don't even know what this metric means, by the way.
But okay, so
it was just a made up metric.
When he didn't call her out on it immediately and went with it, like, why didn't he tell her immediately? The only thing I can think is that he wanted to like maybe have her take the blame if it all went to shit.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
If he was just like, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know nothing about it.
By season 5, we're just like, man, this Christopher Pike is a piece of shit. Right? We didn't realize it at first, but like when you get to know him. Jesus.
It's not bad for the right reasons.
I was low-key annoyed that I was low-key annoyed.
Siddig.
That Ortegas did not throw the paper airplane.
Oh yeah, I know, right?
She made a paper airplane. Didn't
she
throw
did
it.
Not throw it? That's stupid.
And I don't know. Maybe that's some pilot mythology. Like don't fly it because it's like a because she right. presented as a totem to say that they would be safe. And it was true for her. Didn't happen to be so true for the sex and gone lady. Another question I have is, you know, referencing the eating the piece. You know, you win. The game.
Yeah,
the
I wonder what that piece tasted like. I bet it tastes like chocolate.
Was it just a bone?
It was some sort of carved thing. Maybe it was wood. Maybe it was bone. But the question I have for you two folks:
who's going to eat wood? No one's going to eat wood.
I mean, if you're a lizard, maybe you put it in your cloaca.
You got any wood?
What's that from?
Is that from Bobby's World?
You got any wood?
It's from Full House.
Yeah, Jesse's right.
It's from Full House.
It's Dave Coulier. He's that woodchuck creature.
You got any?
That's right.
But it does kind of sound like, hey, I'm Bobby.
Yeah,
it's similar.
That thing where you kind of close your throat up.
Yeah, constrict your throat up. That's how I make my cat sounds. You constrict your throat.
That's my cat. This is my cat noise.
Sabe espantoso.
Willie.
Hey, Willie!
You got any cat?
There's our kaboom. A big, fiery kaboom.
The question I have...
Don't worry. I'm going to get you so much data, it'll be coming out your ears.
On the other side of a freaking wormhole.
If humans had the same rule...
Wrench.
If humans had the same rule for games, which popular board game do you think would be the most problematic if you had to eat the piece as the winner?
Axis and Allies.
Do you have to eat all the pieces?
Yeah.
It's like in Risk.
Right,
do you just get like a belly full of plastic pieces?
Yeah, I mean, how many pieces?
I don't know, because you remove them from the board when they're...
Monopoly. That's all little, so that wouldn't be so
If you
bad,
did some
it?
Kind of Warhammer battle where you only played with like giant... Warhammer 40K, if you only played with like giant tanks...
They're all spiky.
If you only played with like giant tank battles, so you had like this big giant fucking piece of pewter or whatever that was like... You know, six inches by a foot long, and you had to like eat one of those things.
What about if you're playing Magic the Gathering and you have to eat your opponent's deck? Well, you could do that one card at a time.
Yeah, a couple of cards at a time wouldn't be so bad. Monopoly pieces wouldn't be so bad.
They're, little. What about Mousetrap? Although that's not your opponent's thing, right? That's like the board.
Shark. Oh my God. Mousetrap.
What about Mr. Bucket?
I don't know what that is.
Mr. Bucket. Buckets of fun. You never know Mr. Bucket? Mr. Bucket.
I remember.
Buckets of fun.
I remember the song. And I remember that there's. I don't remember what the fuck Mr. Bucket was.
It was a bucket that like spat ping pong balls out. And you had to like put the ping pong balls back in its bucket head. And it was like, I'm Mr. Bucket. Buckets of fun. Hey, guy.
Did you have that? Did you have
one
that
bucket of
or
fun?
Or did you only see the commercial?
How many buckets of fun? That's like one bucket.
It's one bucket
at
of
least,
fun.
At least, maybe.
I was a hungry, hungry.
Barrel of monkeys. Hungry, I wouldn't want to eat no barrel of monkeys.
No, those would not
those
be
really
fun.
Hard.
No,
those are really hard.
Those are not because they got those little hook hands.
Solid plastic. Hook hands.
I never
hook your intestines.
I never had a Mr. Bucket.
Or what was that game where you...
Crossfire? There was a submarine game where you put submarines on either side and you had these little disc shooters and you'd like
that
make
game
the submarine
was awesome.
Pop. Yeah,
that game was huge.
It was huge. Yeah, that any of those pieces so would suck awesome. To eat. Yeah, that was cool.
I was thinking about the
they had like crazy rubber band things.
Yeah.
You could blast those pieces across
and they would go flying off. The pieces go flying off.
The little plastic spike things, you pull them out like the long pointy sticks and like you like don't
pick up sticks.
No, but it's like
Jenga?
They're all like in a plastic thing, and then stuff is in there, and you eat.
Parcheesi?
You have to take turns pulling it out. Pachinko.
I think I kind of know what you're talking about. We should probably talk about Star Trek.
Yeah, let's finish up this conversation because we only have a few minutes left.
Okay, so there was the oh shit yeah moment where like Ortega's goes like, you're right, we're toast, I give up, and then it zooms in on her face, and then from off camera you see this big googly claw hand coming off the side of the screen, and after she's all like, oh no, it's hopeless, we're not gonna make it, and then it of course goes like,
disagree,
and it was all righteous. It was like, yeah, disagree, we are gonna make it, because the whole thing is that she kept saying agree, disagree to normal stuff, and she's like oh, we're not gonna do it, it's all, no, it's terrible, and then the hand comes and it's like,
disagree.
It was pretty heroic.
That was it was like, yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, disagree, you disagree with that statement because you are gonna make it, you know. And that's after the whole time the Gorn was being all grumpy about all their shit. Oh, it was also funny when the Gorn didn't like that fire cube and she like just threw some sand at it. It's just being all,
it's like, I gotta cook, I don't dig this cave monster sushi.
I know, right?
It was that noise.
So
that was that she didn't like fire noise.
The end of this episode, as we mentioned before, is really upsetting.
Yeah.
When the sexy Gorn lady gets killed.
Sexy Gorn lady.
But it reminded me of a movie I saw. I was a child. I was visiting my grandmother in Austria watching some TV show. I don't remember if it was a TV show or a movie. I don't know if it was a German or Austrian TV show or some other country dubbed. I really can't remember. But what I vividly remember about it was like about some farmer guy or something who made friends with, I want to say like an otter or a weasel. And like the whole thing was about
Chief O'Brien.
About this guy becoming friends with this, like palling around with this weasel.
Is it animated?
No, it was a live action.
A weasel.
And at the very end of this movie,
the animal
show,
dies, doesn't it?
The otter thing is like running through a ditch, and there's just some guy who's like digging a ditch, and he sees it, and he just fucking takes a shovel and just fucking kills it.
That's why I don't watch fucking movies or shows where a kid befriends some kind of animal, because the animal dies at some point.
And I don't know what the lesson was.
Like Rats of Nim or whatever?
Yes.
That shit is fucked.
Wait, was this a kid that made friends with the ferret creature?
No, it was like an adult dude,
either way, like any of those movies, whether it's whether it's a show about a cop who has a canine dog, like police dog, in the end, inevitably, the dog fucking, they all die. I hate those movies.
That image is in my mind since my youth, and this brought it back.
And that's
And I have no idea what the movie is. So if anybody out there knows what it is, let me know, because I would love to be able to look it up and be traumatized again.
Yeah, and that's even worse, because at least in a lot of those other places, the animal dies heroically. This is unceremoniously chopped in half with a shovel.
Yeah, and you don't see it, but you see the guy do the shovel, and then the aftermath of the guy being like, no, he was my friend, or whatever.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was very upsetting.
I'm afraid to watch any movie that stars like some actor and an animal, because they might not die, but there's this off chance it will die.
You don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know.
I think there should be a section like in where it says animal movies where the animal doesn't die. That should be its own genre.
Yeah.
Feel good animal movies where the animal lives.
Speaking of which, there is a new movie coming out that I forget what it's called. I think it's called like Good Boy or something.
Good Boy.
I think it's a brilliant premise.
Good Boy. You're a good boy.
Brilliant premise. We'll see what the movie ends up being. But I really like the premise. The idea is that a guy and his dog move into like this house, and the dog sees fucking terrible ghosts.
Holograms?
And the dog is like running around like trying to protect his master and like communicate to his master like that there's these demons in the house.
Wait, is this a live action?
This is a live action movie.
Does the dog talk or do we hear its thoughts?
I don't
know. It's like a horror movie. And that's what makes the idea, like, because you can imagine, like, you know, there's
so the dog's just going around going,
well, there's like, imagine like a movie. That's why I like the concept, because the idea of like not being able to speak, not being able to communicate, that you're trying to help a loved one and you can't communicate to them. That's a nightmare. I can imagine that being a really interesting horror movie. Yeah. But what's fascinating is that because a dog's involved, the director has come out and said, he's like, it's not a spoiler. The dog is fine. Yeah. Don't worry about it. It's a scary, horrible horror movie, but the dog is going to be fine because otherwise nobody, because you, like you said, right. Dan, nobody's going to go watch that movie. Yeah.
That's what I want to know. Premise. See, I'm, as you guys know, like I'm big on like avoiding spoilers. I think I'm so sensitive to spoilers, things that other people don't think are spoilers. I think are spoilers.
Yeah.
This is the one quote unquote spoiler that I need to know beforehand if the animal dies, and I don't care if that's a major plot point, because I just won't watch it otherwise. When you said that, so it's kind of like the movie The Bear or Benji the Hunted, where it's like the animal don't talk.
Dude. Oh,
you remember Benji the Hunted?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
All right. Anyway, we gotta close things down here.
You don't get it.
I totally get it. It's terrible.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
I think a really great episode.
Where would I stay?
Star Trek, great episode. Yeah, Strange New Worlds.
It was a good episode. I was happy with this episode.
Yeah. Entertaining. And again, wonderful opportunity to showcase Melissa Navia's skills and talents.
Her chops.
And the character
her
of Ortega,
acting chops.
This is great. All right, so next
storm's
week,
over.
Our next episode, we will be discussing the season 3 finale of Star Trek Strange New Worlds 3rd season, which is called, what is it called? Like
Zuby on the Doob Doob.
Strange New, it's called like New, it's new, called new Worlds and New Planets.
Strange New Worlds.
Playing a ship while you're in the space.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yes!
Here's the situation.
These people fly spaceships.
The situation
is possible.
We do have, there's some host travel, some host travel going on that's going to prevent us from recording at our normal time.
I know. This is going to be doubly delayed. We're already delayed a week as it is. Now this is going to be double delayed.
You do have to wait a little bit longer.
We really get away with it.
We'll try to pop some other content up on the feed for next week, but the following week will be our fulsome discussion, and because of the extra time, we'll make sure it's an extra special good one that Dan will carefully craft and scope the sound clips so that they're all delicious.
With pleasure.
Jesse and I will write very clever notes and stuff, and it gives Patrick, you, the audience, the opportunity to send us in all sorts of stuff.
Do you know how Patrick just assigned me more work? It's like Dan's going to make sounds, except he's going to do it in extra
he's
work,
do
extra
it
hard.
We're going to come up with clever barbs.
Noticeably better, but it does give the audience more
that
time.
Answer
if
is
you
unknown.
Would like to send us anything about the season finale, or indeed about the season, we can maybe discuss a little bit about what we thought of the entire third season. If we have time, we can chat about that a little bit. Send us your thoughts at feedback@iscastartrek.com.
It is illogical to continue.
Go to the website www.iscastartrek.com, patreon.com/iscastartrek, and @iscastartrek on social media. You guys,
you hustle me.
You guys know that.
My name is Dan.
My name is Jesse.
He's my number one dad.
Just pulling out all the hits.
He's my number one dad.
Right at the end of the show.
He's my number one dad.
If you want more of that, we did discuss Rascals.
My Wime voice.
Within the last year.
Why are the Wimes coming out
scroll
of my
back.
Hey, Dan.
Why are the Wimes coming
scroll
out of my
back
face?
In the feed.
Hey, Dan.
All right. So,
hey, what are you doing?
Till next time.
Hey, Jesse, what are you doing?
Hey, Dan.
Goodbye.
We're toast. You want me to eat it? Is that what the winner does? The winner eats the final captured piece?
Agree.
No, I don't agree. It's a game. Not a food group. All right, I'll get your scales in an uproar.